Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Halloween. I hope you had a chance to go to the exhibition hall and grab your Halloween candy and give you some energy for the rest of the day. I want to thank Carter and the ODPHP team. I've been a regional health administrator for 11 years this Saturday. It'll be 11 years. Before that, I was in ODPHP, and we've maintained close relationships, and I think for most of my 11 years, I've been on panels with Carter at APHA on Healthy People 2010 and now 2020. I will say that Carter's been a fabulous colleague and has really done well to work with the regions and the regional offices, regional health administrators, trying to make sure that Healthy People is close to the communities, close to the public health professionals. And I will say that looking at the evolution into what's now Healthy People 2020, I can't remember a more stakeholder-driven process. I think they've gone they really have done what they could to accommodate every opportunity for stakeholder input into Healthy People. And I think what you're seeing and what Carter is presenting and what you'll see from Rebecca's presentation is the extent to which that the information in Healthy People 2020 is exactly what we need going forward in public health. Let's see. Oh, perfect. Okay. There are 10 regional offices in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Many federal agencies have regional offices. Not all of them have the same structure. Some of them differ. And in fact, even within HHS, we have some differences. FDA, for example, has a little different regional office structure. But for HHS, this is a regional structure. There are 10. There's a regional office in each. There's a regional health administrator in each. And for those of you who are geographically challenged, I'm in Region 3. Those are the purple states. Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Delaware, and Maryland, and of course here the District of Columbia. I have a regional office that belongs to, my boss is the Assistant Secretary of Health, like Carter's. I report to Dr. Koh. And I have programs that are also affiliated with the Assistant Secretary for Health in Minority Health, Women's Health, Family Planning, HIV, AIDS, and the Medical Reserve Corps, which is actually a part of the Office of the Surgeon General. And the Surgeon General, of course, reports to the Assistant Secretary for Health. In addition to the OASH offices in the HHS regional offices, we have Health Resources Services Administration, and I'm happy to say that Ms. Pam Kenyo over there is the Region 3 acting regional administrator and the deputy regional administrator for HRSA. We have regional offices for the Center of Medicaid and Medicare Services, Food and Drug Administration, and the Administration on Children and Families, and many others. For my office, and this is really... This is me talking, but these are the priorities that my office I've sort of given the charge to my staff. But most importantly for us is to implement the health care reform law, as Dr. Koh will say, the Affordable Care Act, which is the law, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But under the Affordable Care Act is the National Health Promotion Council, which this year released the National Prevention Strategy. And what we have done in our office is linked all of our prevention activities, and those you see listed and others, to the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. And as I'll show you, there are many prevention aspects to the Affordable Care Act that most people actually do not know about. In addition to, and I will say that what's really important for us in the implementation of the Affordable Care Act and National Prevention Strategy is that we are now able to work with many of our colleagues, such as HRSA, and in particular Centers for Medicaid Services, which traditionally have not been partners with us in prevention. I mean, they'll tell you that they do, you know, they're a health insurance agency, but they've been partnering with us on prevention. And we, in fact, in our region and many of the other regions are following suit. are developing regional prevention collaboratives where we actually work across agencies to make sure that prevention really is important. It's part of what we do. In fact, we'd like to say that we're branding prevention. We're trying to make prevention sexy, trendy, hot. So, that's really what we see our job now is to get prevention out there, making sure people are aware of the importance of prevention. If you were at the Leading Health Indicators presentation earlier, you saw some great speakers. Dr. Sanchez in particular had some really good information on the importance of prevention. Some of the other priorities, we focus on tobacco cessation. These are actually, what I'm talking about are strategies that come out of the Assistant Secretary for Health's office. Dr. Koh's office led the way for developing the National Tobacco Strategy, so that's a topic for us. Dr. Koh coordinates the Let's Move activity, which is the First Lady's activity, but for HHS, Dr. Koh is the lead. We also are implementing the seasonal flu campaign, making sure that we address seasonal flu, not only to address the health disparities that exist in seasonal flu, but we are also targeting healthcare workers and pregnant women, among others, and the Million Hearts campaign, which is something that we are working closely with CMS on, making sure that people are, we're trying to prevent cardiovascular disease, which is the number one killer for Americans. Back to the Affordable Care Act. Now, we could spend all day going over the Affordable Care Act, and there are five different aspects. You know, if you summarize it down, it's a huge law, of course. But if you look at it expands coverage, it offers new consumer protections, consumer choice, makes healthcare more affordable, improves quality. That's really important. But what I want to talk about is number five: improves prevention and public health. Very important for us. There are many prevention aspects. I should go back a sec. Many prevention aspects to the Affordable Care Act. It promotes clinical and community preventions. There's workplace wellness programs. There and again, I talked about the National Prevention Strategy that has come out of the Affordable Care Act, and also there are measures that address health disparities. And I'll talk a little bit about some of the community the community interventions, including the community transformation grants. Now, some of the activities we're doing in Region 3, and we're doing this really in partnership with Carter and ODPHP, the Office of Prevention and Health Promotion has a number of evaluation projects, and what they've done is award to a number of states these action awards to see how the states are using Healthy People 2020 in their policies and in implementing their programs. And in our region, in 2009 and 10, the Virginia Department of Health received an action award, and the objective of that award, and it's very interesting, is that the Secretary of Health was going to be transitioning from a governor who was a Democrat to a governor who was a Republican, and she was going to use Healthy People 2020 as a way to inform the new administration about Healthy People 2020, but more importantly about public health and the programs in the Virginia Department of Health. And so their action award is being used to evaluate her success in doing that. Also, the Maryland Department of Health has an award for this year that allows them to develop a state health improvement plan that includes 35 Healthy People 2020 objectives. And this year, we're getting out Healthy People 2020 Community Innovation Awards. We're giving out $5,000 to $10,000 awards, and I think there's going to be about 90 to 95 of them to CBOs across the country, about 8 to 9 per region. And we're looking to address one or more Healthy People 2020 topic areas, environmental justice, health equity, or healthy behaviors across all life stages. We plan to announce the awardees sometime in mid-November, which is 2 weeks. You know, it's like before you know it, the year is going to be over. And as Carter mentioned, there are Healthy People 2020 coordinators in 45 states, and I'm happy to say that they're in all six of our states in Region 3. We work with them closely, and each year, I think it's annually, we have a state Healthy People state coordinator meeting, which is very useful. We the 10 REJs meet with their state health coordinators, and we have fabulous meetings. I remember last year's, I was on a panel. I was following Dr. Koh and Todd Park, and so two of the most energetic, dynamic speakers in all of HHS, and then comes me, and I had to tell folks, okay, this is sort of the Barry White moment, where we sort of bring down the energy level a little bit. If you ever seen either speaker speak, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you see them both together, it's amazing. And this again, these are things that we're doing in the region. But we're working with those communities that received the Community Putting Prevention to Work grants. If you remember, those were dollars from the stimulus funding, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. $373 million went out for that. Some 44 different communities received those, and I'm happy to say Philadelphia, West Virginia, and Washington, D.C., in my region, received these grants. These were substantial grants to communities for 2 years, and Philadelphia alone received $25 million to address obesity and tobacco. Those grants are now wrapping up, and the purpose of those dollars were to invest in community intervention strategies to actually start developing the database to see what community interventions are working. We have great clinical preventive data, but we are lacking in community intervention data, though perhaps Rebecca will discuss that in her conversation. But those projects are wrapping up. Fortunately, this year, and in fact last month, Secretary Sebelius announced the $103 million are going out in the community transformation grants that CDC will administer. These are grants that are funded through the Affordable Care Act, and these are going to, again, support community-level efforts to reduce chronic disease, heart disease, cancer, stroke, and diabetes. There are going to be 61 grantees. Finally, and I throw this out there because I think this is a cool slide, this shows on the left is a tornado, which is a tornado in Myrtle Beach, July of 2001, and then on the right is Hurricane Isabel, which is on 2003. And so you can see the tornado to the left and hurricane on the right. And that tornado, I mean, I'm sorry, that hurricane on the right, if you look at it, it's probably the one of the best pictures I've seen of a clearly demarcated hurricane. And it shows you just the power and devastation. I mean, it looks like one of those scrubbing bubbles from that commercial. I mean, just going to scrub everything away. And you know, you've seen that. And of course, we saw the hurricanes just from this year. Certainly us in Region 3 felt Hurricane Lee. Really, that is the impact. And the reason I throw this slide up is that for the first time, Healthy People, in its four decades, will have a section devoted to preparedness. And this was something that I had the good fortune of working with, which was sort of good and bad, I guess, fortune. I mean, I was so pleased to do it, but it was a struggle when you're trying to develop a new topic. But really, since the World Trade Center, September 11th, and then, of course, Hurricane Katrina, the area of public health preparedness really is part and parcel of what we in public health do. It can't be just a specialty left to the emergency response folks. It is certainly a public health area. But unfortunately, as all of us in public health know, that the state and local health departments, the funding is decreasing for everything. And sadly, very experienced staff are being let go. Some of the most amazing experts in public health are losing their jobs. So consequently, the responsibilities remain for the state and local health departments, but the people are being let go. And what does that mean? People that are doing HIV, AIDS, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, nutrition, and so forth, also have preparedness in their portfolios, especially state health officers, local health officers. These folks have to know preparedness. So there, we started the process. We had a group of experts that looked at the data, and they came up with some 99 different indicators. And then we whittled those down to available data and you know, useful programs and so forth. And we just kept slicing. So I think finally in Healthy People 2020, there are about 6 preparedness indicators. But it's a foot in the door, and we're going to use those 6 to see how well we do. But it's something upon which we will be able to grow. But it is something that... you know, I'm very proud that you know, it's something that shows how healthy people evolves with public health, and it's something very important. And again, this is something that our state and local health officials will be dealing with. And I think that's it. This is my contact information, and that's my phone number and my email. But you can also access the OASH website, and it's up there, www.hhs.gov/ASH, A-S-H, of course. And also, we are I'm encouraging people to use Twitter, access us on Twitter at hhs.gov, and actually hhs.gov. Well, it should be .gov, but anyway, we'll get that for you. Although, actually, I noticed that Carter has the has a Twitter account for Healthy People, so I'll encourage you to use that one, too. So with that, thank you very much.